Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for April 20th, 2009, and on this week's episode, we have an interview with Kirsten Fitzgerald from A Red Orchid Theater's Pump Girl. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, and let's talk theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is from A Red Orchid Theater. She is one of the stars of Pump Girl. Hello to Kirsten Fitzgerald. How
Thank
you doing?
Thank you so much. And it's Kirsten. It is Kirsten.
Kirsten,
Fitzgerald.
I'm sorry. No,
not to worry. Everybody does it.
Yeah, I even made a note of that. This is a terrific show. Tell us how
Thank you.
I know you're the new artistic director.
I am. It's been just barely over a year.
Right. Tell us why you picked this show and what it's about.
This show originally came to us through an ensemble member, Larry Grimm, who is also in the show. He had seen a production and read the play and just fell in love with the characters and the human sort of struggle that goes throughout and that this play encompasses. We as an ensemble then read the play, and in my reading of it, the thing that struck me immediately again was the human condition, the people and the relationships and their, you know, fierce battle to find purpose in the world.
Now, this is a contemporary Irish play.
It is.
Written by a female,
mm-hmm.
a young girl. She's like in her 20s, right?
Yeah, Abby Spallin. She's actually now in her, I believe she's in her late 30s now.
Okay.
But yes,
when she wrote it, I heard she was like 25 or 26 when she wrote it.
She was. She was originally an actress and did a lot of acting and now finds herself a playwright.
So tell us what happens in this. This is a series of interlocking monologues, right?
It is. It is, which was a really fascinating sort of structure to take on. Yeah,
it's kind of a Brian Friel type.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's been compared many times to him and Connor McPherson and some of the other Irish classics, right? How can you go wrong with that?
So tell us, there's three characters.
There are three characters in the play. There is a gentleman, his name is Hammy, and he is fascinated with his race cars, stock car driving, and being a pretty typical bad Irish boy. And
tend to be a womanizer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Larry Grimm is playing that role.
Yes,
yeah,
he's
terrific.
Yeah, and then his wife Sinead, who is the character that I am playing, a very unsatisfied, disenfranchised with the marriage thing, but absolutely committed to the marriage and the family and the kids.
That's
and
so Irish, isn't it?
Yeah, so Irish. You know, knowing that there is the bad boy there, but still absolutely committed to this as much as she groans and moans and makes sarcastic jokes and all of that.
Well, I think you have the biggest, well, maybe not the biggest role, but the best role in the
Thank
in the show.
You. Yeah. It is tremendous. Her sense of humor is the most fun.
Yeah, it is. And the third is?
And the third character is the character that is the title role, the pump girl. Her name is Sandra, and she is, and that role is played by Grace Rex.
Who's a terrific young actor.
Brand new to Chicago. This is her professional debut. She just graduated this last year from Ball State University.
Okay, because I had not seen her around.
Nope. Yeah. First show here in Chicago.
Wow, that's a big break for her to come work for a company like Red Orchid.
Well, she's a tremendous young talent for sure.
Great.
And wonderful to work with. And Pump Girl is a tomboy all growed up is how is sort of the standard description. And she works at the pump station, the gas station, or petrol station, and or garage as we refer to it. And she has her best friend in the world is Hammy, and they are best friends, sometimes lovers, and she is enamored and fascinated with him.
What would you say are some of the themes in the show? besides, I think, being working class,
absolutely,
people kind of stuck in their situations.
There is absolutely that. There is these working class souls who are absolutely in a bit of a rut. There's no question.
This is
rural
Ireland.
They don't
know
any better.
Yeah, is rural Ireland near the Northern Ireland border, right?
Right. It is County Armagh, which is, yeah, right on the border of North and South. And it is definitely rural Ireland. And it is referred to in the play that Hammy and myself, our family, we are on welfare. And he works a couple hours a day at the chicken hatcheries, but the dole don't know. So the dole being the state.
Yeah, that for a while, I know Ireland's doing real well now, but for a while there was like 30% of the people were on the doles.
Yeah, there was quite a bit, and they absolutely their economic situation went through the roof with tourism and all of that, and was quite good. My understanding is though that now recently it is backsliding a bit. The economy isn't just terrible
because they did well in with the internet and all that.
Yeah.
But like the whole world.
Like all over the world.
So these are people caught in. The humor was so great in this play.
Well,
particularly your role. A lot of it had to do with your performance.
Thank you. And I would also like to give credit to Abby, to the playwright who just wrote an amazingly detailed, wonderful character. These three absolutely have no. There is no pitying them. They refuse that, outright. And so a lot of the where you might see somebody getting melodramatic or weeping about a situation, it turns into a joke. It turns into humor. And that's how they outlet. Particularly,
it's amazingly unsentimental.
Right.
Yeah, and for an Irish play, that's the modern Irish writers. They tend to do that.
It absolutely is, and it's something that we at Red Orchid are very drawn to as well.
Yes. How do you prepare for a role that requires the brogue, the accent?
We had I love doing dialects. It's something that I my family, my sisters make shameless fun of me because I'm one of those people that if I'm around somebody who has a foreign dialect, for whatever reason, my mouth just picks it up and I will take on the person that is next to me.
So in spite of the technique, which I know actors learn, that you just instinctively start picking it up.
I do a bit, okay. But I did, I studied a lot in college and in grad school and loved, it was something that I grew, or that I took to very quickly. We also had a fantastic dialect coach on this show, Anita Dealey, who is a wonderful actress in town.
Yes,
and is
I'm
particularly
with her.
Particularly great with the Irish dialect. She is she spent many years of her life there in Ireland. So,
well, I know a lot of Irish. I had an Irish grandfather, so as a little kid, I would pick it up, and I don't have any problem with it, but. It is such a challenge for actors to be able to do an authentic accent and still convey the the emotion and the meanings.
Yeah.
And you guys really did a great job of it.
Thank you. I attribute that to partially, to Anita as well as to the actors, the other actors around me. It the key is with any dialect, if we went so strongly in the direction of authenticity, half of the audience, maybe more, would not understand a word we said. So
they can really run the words together. Yes.
There's adjustments that you need to make, and the key is that we all sound like we're from the same place, that we all grew up in the same place. And I think that was something that Anita and Larry and Grace and I were able to work together on it, and our director Karen Kessler was really committed to.
Have you had any Irish from the old country see the work yet?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that
well,
I know
I'm sure
of. I know there's a few coming.
Yeah,
so.
and hopefully the ones that listen to this, because the Irish do back Irish theater in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we've got a really nice relationship with O'Brien's restaurant across the street, and they'll be sending some folks our way. And
make sure
as
the
we
Irish Times
them.
Comes out to see the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I'm sure they'll love it.
Yeah.
Because it is so funny. But so tell us a little bit more. Now we have this pump girl,
mm-hmm.
and she's kind of I won't call her a loser, but she's stuck doing this, and she doesn't know where she's going to go in
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. She is a bit, maybe if loser isn't the right word, maybe loner.
Loner,
she doesn't have a lot of friends, and there probably aren't many options for her here, Sinead, my character says at one point, you know, when somebody is asking her how in the heck she ended up marrying this guy, that there wasn't much to choose from.
Yeah, the way you presented that is one of the biggest laughs in the show.
Yeah.
It was, well, I kind of loved them and all. And besides, who else was there? Right.
Who else was there around, you know?
I guess that happens in the small towns.
I think it does. Well, and, you know, there is absolutely something about Hammy and Larry in that role that is charming and entrancing, as perhaps despicable as he may appear to some others. He is, his energy, his passion for the racing and for having fun and being a good old boy is really appealing, you know, to a lot of women.
Yeah, and he is a typical Irish in that sense. Yeah, I know a lot of old country
people. Very charismatic.
Yeah. So, this is Interlocking Monologues, mm-hmm. and we don't want to give away some of the key parts of the show because it goes from some sort of comedy and a character sketch. It gets pretty profound, then, doesn't it?
It does. It's dark. It goes to some pretty darn dark places in the human experience, and there are some pretty desperate things that happen. There is, you know, along with that, humor strong all the way through. It's
well, your character having the going to the town and
spending my time at the market of all places when I have time off, just because it's a wonderful place to wander around sort of anonymously and be able to enjoy the other people.
Well, what's been the audience reaction to the work so far?
We have had a tremendous response in terms of, and we've just really had two previews and our opening night, and then last night
you were dark on Easter.
On Easter, yeah. Exactly. Just last night was our first show since opening, and it's been very enthusiastic. It's a show where the second act is the tougher part to get through. You know, we really have to ramp ourselves up in terms of the mood and really needing to communicate something with the audience. There's a really tricky thing that goes along with doing a play that is in this structure of interlocking monologues, because it would be very easy, and perhaps the trap is to have these three characters be very isolated and telling their own story. But there has to be a reason for them to be there telling it every night, you know?
Yeah,
otherwise it will be and will get sentimental and internal. And we battled through that. I mean, that we went there, you know, in the rehearsal process, and it was hard to get out of that. But Karen Kessler is a tremendous director. She was insistent on us living in this sort of metaphysical space, as we call it, where we can respond and do interact with each other.
Yeah. How subtle it is. Yeah. You go in and out of the monologue to interact, and it really works seamlessly.
We're telling it to the audience and also to each other, you know, and there are discoveries that get made along the way that are really profound and fun to have every night.
Well, I think Pump Girl is one of those little shows that is such a gem, and it's typical of the high quality of Storefront Theater in Chicago.
Thank you so much,
because you guys are an equity house that is a cherish. I don't know how you do it for the small ticket price.
We are committed to making sure that everybody can afford to see the shows, and it is rough. It makes producing hard without big donors or funders and stuff, and it's hard in to convince particularly any sort of corporate sponsorship on shows like this or for small theaters like this, because there isn't huge audience.
Yeah, and isn't the big glamour shows,
right.
But this is great theater.
Right.
Yeah. So tell us now the mission for people who haven't been at a Red Orchid, mm-hmm. and it's in Old Town.
Yeah.
Little commercial for your show. Tell us where it is.
A Red Orchid Theater is right in the heart of Old Town, which is a fantastic neighborhood here in Chicago on the north side. Just at 1531 North Wells Street. We've got all kinds of restaurants in the neighborhood.
That's a great area.
And comedy clubs and wonderful nightlife as well as daylife. Some great shops on the block.
And your show, give us what the days it runs.
The show Pump Girl runs on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 o'clock, and Sundays either at 7 p.m. or at 3 p.m. We have a couple of Sunday matinees, and on those days we don't have evening shows. So
either or, and you can go to the website.
You can absolutely go to the website, www.aredorchidtheater.org.
Great.
Yeah.
And it runs till?
It runs until May 24th.
May 24th. Great.
May 24th.
Highly recommend the show. Now, to get on some other topics. You took over as artistic director about a year ago.
I did.
From Guy Swearingen, right?
Guy Van Swearingen,
Swearingen, right? Yeah. Who's a fireman, right? And he got promoted.
He's a Chicago fireman.
He was great actor.
Recently promoted to lieutenant. Congratulations to him. And he is a fantastic actor.
Yes, he is.
Here in the city. He's got a film coming out this month called The Merry Gentleman with Michael Keaton.
Wow. Yeah. Terrific. Good for him.
And does lots of stage work as well.
And you had another actor from your group make a little fame in Hollywood.
We did. One of our founding ensemble members, Michael Shannon, has had a tremendous year. He was nominated for an Oscar this year for his work in... how am I blanking on the name of the movie with Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, I don't remember it offhand either.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
everyone will know what we're talking about.
We'll probably get a few emails telling us, but
right.
And a lot of people think that he had the best performance, but you know, when someone a legend dies, literally, you know,
Heath Ledger was fantastic in that film as well. So. Absolutely.
But to get nominated for an Oscar.
Michael's got a lot to come, more to come. He's so talented.
Isn't he going to be in a play coming up?
He is. Just this next season, he will be in the name of the movie is Revolutionary Road.
Thank you.
Our general manager, Chris Geiser here, who just handed me a note.
Those managers are the best, aren't they?
Saves my life on a daily basis. Michael is going to be, we will open our 2009-2010 season actually with a world premiere play written by Craig Wright and starring Michael Shannon and one of our other ensembles, Mirka Gurton. And it's called Mistakes Were Made. And it is
We love Craig Wright. I know Northlight has done several of his plays.
Yes, they
premiered. We love him here in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, they premiered his plays Grace and Lady, which Michael actually just recently did another production of in New York. A short run Broadway. Yeah.
Terrific. So tell us now, give us the mission statement of you guys. Besides doing what I call top drama, or if it's a comedy, funny, I mean, just powerful theater.
Sure. Well, we at A Red Orchid, and I'm not going to read you the mission statement directly, but we are really committed to doing theater that speaks directly to the human spirit, be it in a very personal way or in a very public way. So, bringing light to or asking questions about or sparking discussion about particular topics that speak to the human spirit. I know that seems repetitive, but that is what we do. So if we, you know, we did a survey a little while ago when we did our most recent strategic plan that, and we asked people, you know, what are the adjectives that they would use to describe Red Orchid Theater?
Yeah,
and
what did they say?
They were ferocious and edgy.
I would agree with that.
And compassionate and risk-taking. All mixed into...
That's what theater should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say I would add gritty drama to, you know, just tough characterizations. You guys, it's a fearless. Your actors are fearless.
Thank you.
And you're on a small, intimate space. So you're almost eyeball to eyeball with
the
audience.
Yeah, there's only two rows around most of the house. Yeah. So you're right there within, you know, 3 or 4 feet of the performers for sure.
So tell us about your award. And you did that play with Guy?
I did. Yeah. Guy Van Swearingen and I got to do a play that we had been in love with for a long time called The Seahorse.
Yeah, I love that play, yes.
And one of our other ensemble members, Dado, a fantastic director, directed us in that. We were lucky enough to have her in town.
Yeah, she's from L.A. She's out in L.A. now.
She's from Chicago, but she's in L.A. right now with her husband, Andy Rothenberg, who's also an actor, and their two kids. And they're back and forth. They still have a place here that they rent.
Oh, great. Because I know she's done quite a few plays for you guys.
She has.
And around town.
She directed, actually, the play that we had just most recently The Unseen, which was a Craig Wright Chicago premiere that we had running right before Pump Girl.
Yeah, that was the people in the prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that a powerful show?
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. So the Seahorse was was just a gift to be able to do all around. It was a rough play and a gorgeous play. And
the Jeff Committee liked you in it, didn't they?
They did. They did. I was honored to receive a 2006 Jeff Award for that performance.
Yeah. And that's, folks, that says everything.
Really honored.
Town. Yeah, it is. And you were great in that.
Thank you. Yeah. I loved doing it.
But I've seen you in things at Shakespeare. And
sure.
So let's talk about your background.
Yeah, I did. Just in the last couple of years, I've been a little bit all over the place. I got to play the nurse in Romeo and Juliet down at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, which was a ball, and I got to play several roles in Steppenwolf's production of The Elephant Man.
Yes,
which again I had a blast doing, and
that's part of that. Theater for like high school students.
The theater, theater for young audiences.
Yeah, and we need more. I know Shakespeare's doing it. I know Steppenwolf is doing it because. Yeah. And give us an idea of how the kids respond to that, because we need to get the kids into theater.
Yeah, you know, it was really, really exciting, actually, in both locations, both at Chicago Shakes and at Steppenwolf, to watch young people get engaged in live theater. There are so many kids out there who really would never be introduced to it at all, but we're lucky enough to have these programs that do bring kids in, and they start asking questions about things that would have perhaps never occurred to them.
So you do have talkbacks.
We do after the show. They get it, and you know, there's questions from everything from, you know, do you really kiss on stage, and how do you learn all those lines, to how does it feel to be so mean to this person on stage? How does it feel to play the bad guy or to take care of somebody on stage? And that was something that came up a couple of times for me during The Elephant Man.
Because if I remember your role, you weren't too kind.
No,
to the
I was
man,
not. Yeah? I was quite.
It is fun
horrified,
to play a villain, though, isn't it?
Horrified by him. It was a brief role, but it was it was, you know, exemplary of, you know, people's responses to someone who may be disabled in some way.
Well, it's so good that both Shakespeare and Steppenwolf do some of their best productions for the high school. I've told a lot of people some of them are better than the main stage show. I mean,
sure.
they try so hard to make sure these shows can reach the kids that they cast them well. They have top directors, and they usually do some nice little edits.
And a lot of passion, you know, in terms of from all the performers as well as all of the production team.
Because you guys know that you're reaching out to your future audience.
Oh, I mean, and that is the hope. One of the most exciting things that happened this last year for us at Red Orchid was we produced a show called A Very Merry Unauthorized Children's Scientology Pageant. And that show this last
I did not see that.
You're
going to do that again, aren't you?
We are going to do that again.
Now I make sure I catch it.
Was a cast of all young actors, all between the ages of 8 and 14.
Oh, wow.
And this show was fascinating for us. We knew it was a big risk. It's the first musical, the first holiday show we've ever done, and the first show that had more than one young actor in it. And we had an amazing ensemble of young actors, of kids, for lack of a better word, who just grew together as an ensemble and got so fired up about this. And then we had so many families and young people in the audience. It was very refreshing and really renewing in terms of energy for us.
Good.
To see that. It was
plus, it doesn't hurt
really
the bottom
exciting.
Line having a Christmas show. No, I mean, the Goodman figured that
doesn't.
Out years ago. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't. It was very successful for us, both critically and financially. We do plan to do it again. We actually, based on the success of it, started a pilot youth ensemble.
Oh,
and
great.
So
know we need that. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this group of 10 kids who were in the show stuck together and have continued to work here under the direction of ensemble member Larry Grimm, as well as director Steve Wilson, who directed who was one of the directors of the show.
He's also an actor.
He is a wonderful actor, a member of the Hypocrites Ensemble.
Wow. So that now that's news.
Yeah.
And we need more. Now they can contact you guys at Red Orchid if
absolutely they want, if you have any questions about. Yeah, we basically just did like a 5-month pilot of the program where the kids were meeting once a week for skill building classes, as well as then part of the time was spent on creating a new piece. Which, you know, all based on their writings and interactions and improvisations and stuff.
Wow, that's
so we will hopefully roll that out in a larger way. And,
yes, and I hope that some of the funding sources in town ought to, you know,
perk up their ears
and
hopefully
come
on board.
You know, if you're giving money for the arts, we need to bring the younger audiences in.
Absolutely.
And keep groups like this going. That's a big news for you.
Well, it is. It's very funny because a couple of years ago, you know, when we talked about trying to start doing some classes, one of the questions was, do we do plays that kids can even see, you know? Because some of our plays are really not appropriate for younger audiences, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think there is room for both.
Yes.
I feel strongly about that, and as
good.
Does our ensemble.
So that's going to be part of the future.
Yeah, it is.
Fantastic.
It really is.
Fantastic. So, tell us now what your next season is going to be. That
mm-hmm.
Is it out? Have you announced it?
It is out. We've got one question mark spot, the infamous TBA or to be announced spot that everybody groans about. But we have a really exciting season planned. We will start our season, of course, with this world premiere Craig Wright play called Mistakes Were Made. And that will feature Michael Shannon and be directed by Dexter Bullard. Mirka Gurton is also in that show. And then our next show of the season will be the very merry unauthorized children's Scientology pageant.
I got to make sure I catch that.
Yes, that'll open in November.
Okay.
And our third slot of the season is our question mark. We're looking at a couple of really wonderful plays with some larger casts and opportunities for a lot of new faces to be seen on stage here at Red Orchid.
Oh, that's terrific.
So that is really exciting to us.
So tell us.
And
one of the things
we do have one more show. Okay. We do have a fourth show of the season. We'll close the season with a play called Abigail's Party, which is written by Mike Lee.
Okay.
And Shade Murray will return to us to direct that play. And it will be a cast largely comprised of ensemble members. So it's an opportunity for a bunch of us to get to work together, which we don't get to do very often.
And folks, the names we've been talking about is the directors are all top directors.
Yeah.
That's one of the things besides the selection of plays you guys have is you usually have good leadership
and we a couple years ago had a brand new director in town, Brandon Parks, who was really talented, and he's out of town right now, but we love experimenting with new faces as well as really really strong.
Well, with
folks.
The top actors you have in your ensemble, you best have some good directors.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Some people who can stand their ground.
Because
people are going to... That's one of the things I love about working here, about being home on stage here, is because it is so collaborative, between directors, actors, designers, and production team.
It comes across. You can tell you guys get along and have a good time, and it's all about the art.
We do, and it's not that we don't disagree sometimes. We absolutely do, and we will argue with as much passion as we play, but that is, I think, what reads on stage.
Yeah, it does. So tell us now about, I know you're an equity actress.
I am.
But you also have another passion. Tell us about what you do with the children.
With Thresholds?
Yeah, with Thresholds.
I
was told by a friend to make sure I mentioned that.
That's great. That's great, and I'm glad you did. I years ago when I first moved back to the city after grad school and began thinking about getting a day job, I had a friend working for Thresholds, which is a mental health agency here in the city. It's actually Illinois' largest and I believe oldest mental health agency. And I started working with them in their day programs, working with people, individuals who have severe and persistent mental illnesses, to build social skills and help them find jobs. That's what I initially started doing. But it very quickly, it became really obvious very quickly that theater and theater games could and do go a long way to helping people with those things. And so I started using a lot of theater games in my, group sessions.
Help bring
people.
Them out, help
yeah.
help them learn
get
to communicate.
Get comfortable communicating and get comfortable identifying emotional responses and just even building you know, social community. Building the idea of building an ensemble absolutely translates to building a family or building a group of friends or building a support network. It finding a way to establish trust was tremendous. And so ultimately, and what I do with Thresholds now is I manage a theater project. We called the Thresholds Theater Arts Project.
So they actually put on a show.
They do. Every year we produce a brand new play that's based entirely on the ensemble, the members of the program's writings and poetry and improvisations. And actually that show, we've done that show the last few years at the theater building, and they've been tremendous for us. But this year, because of because of everyone's financial situation, we weren't able to secure that space. And so we actually are, that show is being produced here at a Red Orchid Theater.
Okay.
And will open next week, open on Monday the 20th.
And how long does it run?
It will run for 3 weeks on off nights.
On Mondays?
It will run on Sunday and Monday evenings at 7 o'clock and on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings, actually, in hopes of bringing some students in.
Oh,
Tuesday
terrific.
And Wednesday mornings at 10:30. So,
and are you directing? Or
I am not directing. I manage that project.
Oh,
my official title is program director or managing director.
Okay.
So I consult artistically, but my main job is to make sure that that the ensemble and the director have everything they need to make the production happen. And so
it sounds like something you're very passionate about.
I am, and I do love it. They're an amazingly brave group of people.
The rewards, it's got to make you feel good when you see
it. It does. Yeah. You can't help it.
Well,
it'll
great
make you cry and it'll make you laugh.
Good. You're using those theater skills to help people.
That's
why a friend told me that I had to mention that you have
a lot
of respect.
Thank you so much, and thank
town.
Your friend for asking
about
that.
I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Wow. My last question is going to be, what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now?
Oh, my gosh.
Or in the future? Are there some things you haven't done or want to do?
You know, wow. There's lots of things I would love to do.
A role you might want to play?
Absolutely. There's those out there. I really, all is sort of right with the world for me when I'm on stage or in rehearsal for something. And sometimes, even though I'm really passionate about it and really excited about it, I get personally overwhelmed with the details of producing and managing. And so I would really like to do more acting.
Okay.
And in 5 years, you know, if I could be supporting myself and able to pay rent as an actor, I would do that and then participate in these other areas as an advisory, in an advisory capacity, you know.
It's a laudable goal.
That would be where I would like to be.
Oh, you'll get there. You'll get there. Talent wins out.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And
folks, thanks for listening. And remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Mote, bringing you the theater news for the week of April 20th, 2009. Get out your dictionaries. The Marriott Theater is presenting the musical comedy The 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. The show will open May 20th and run through July 19th at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire. Hot off the Broadway stage, Spelling Bee is a tuneful, offbeat, and heartwarming tale that follows the story of six teenage outcasts through their ups and downs of the contest, and where they learn that winning isn't everything, and losing doesn't necessarily make you a loser. The comical bar is raised as four volunteer audience members will get the opportunity to become a part of the action as an on-stage Spelling Bee contestant. Spelling Bee was nominated for 6 2005 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, for which it received 2 awards. The cast stars Katie Boren, Roberta Ducek, Heidi Kettenring, Michael Mahler, Michael Weber, and the direction and choreography are by Rachel Rockwell, and the musical direction is by Douglas Peck. For more information on the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee at the Marriott Theater, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. 2 countries, 3 generations, 22 turbulent years, and a dynamic soundtrack are at the heart of Rock and Roll, a sweeping and passionate drama about love, music, and revolution from 4-time Tony Award winner Tom Stoppard. For the play's Chicago premiere at the Goodman Theater, Rock and Roll will be performed in the Albert Theater, running from May 2nd through June 7th. The show is directed by Charles Newell, who has been the artistic director of the Court Theater for 15 years. Newell has also directed at the Guthrie Theater, the Arena Stage, the Juilliard School, amongst others. The cast for Rock and Roll is led by Stephen Yoakam and Chicago favorites Timothy Edward Kane and Mary Beth Fisher. Tom Stoppard uses 22 of history's greatest rock songs as narrative devices in Rock and Roll, including songs from artists such as The Grateful Dead, U2, Pink Floyd, Rolling Stones, The Velvet Underground, The Doors, John Lennon, and The Cure. For more detailed information on the Chicago premiere of Tom Stoppard's Rock and Roll at the Goodman Theater, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Coming Soon section. Word has come down that Lois Smith will be leaving the cast of Steppenwolf's The Tempest to perform in Horton Foote's Dividing the Estate in Hartford, Connecticut. Steppenwolf has signed on Mike Nussbaum to take over the role of Gonzalo starting on May 10th. In this liberally interpreted version of The Tempest, the role is a non-gender-specific role, so everything should work out just fine. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Kirsten Fitzgerald for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And I would also like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.